candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. But not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Pensacola Morning News helps you understand what happened overnight, what's happening here at home, and why it matters before the rest of the day even gets started.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Some songs, a lot of songs actually, but some songs you just kind of have to let them go until they get to their moment, because otherwise, you know, you feel unfulfilled the rest of the day and your head just sitting there singing the beginning and not able to enjoy the end. You know what I'm always amazed by is when I listen to a song that I have the bumper, you know, like I might play it, and then it's in my head for 3 days. It's like it was waiting to get out into my mental memory, and there it is all of a sudden. Good morning, 511 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you. Alex Vindman, candidate for U.S. Senate against Ashley Moody, has made a request that I think is correct. He's raised a lot of money. This is a serious challenge. You know, obviously, you know, time will tell what happens in the election. But, you know, he was the guy that was testified in connection with the phone call and Trump and Ukraine. Remember all of that? That's how he kind of came to fame. And he is now running for U.S. Senate. He is requesting or demanding. I mean, I don't know. I suppose the story says demanding. But, you know, demand and request are in English the same thing. Sort of, you know, like they're real close. It's just a question of tone. Anyway, he's demanding that the grand jury investigation documents be released connected to the Hope Florida Foundation scandal. Remember the $10 million that came back to the state through the Centene payment, but then got funneled off to two agencies who eventually wound up using it to pay for the campaigns, the political campaigns that were being overseen by then chief of staff for Governor DeSantis, James Uthmeyer, now attorney general. Alex Andrade kind of got a lot of prominence over this. And, you know, we've talked about this many times, and it was, I still think, immoral, unethical, a theft, a crime. You know, the grand jury declined to prosecute anybody. But he says, if and Ashley Moody, who was attorney general at the time when this happened, you know, well, let's release the documents. Now, I think he thinks that she's responsible somehow for it, that it was kind of under her purview, and therefore that's going to damage her politically. I don't know whether it will or won't. I mean, I don't have any privy to those documents. But although actually, I guess the grand jury would have not been while she was in office. So he was in office when the grand jury was convening. She would have been in office when the transaction happened. But yeah, release the documents. Let's see what they say, which, of course, I am sure the administration, the Florida, you know, Governor DeSantis and Uthmeyer have no interest in that coming out, because I'm sure it cannot help them. But, you know, the grand jury did decline to prosecute, so there is that. Meanwhile, you know, Alex Vindman is actually running on the Democrat side against Angie Nixon, who got a little bit of TV time here in Pensacola when she came over the weekend. This is a no contest. Angie Nixon is, What's the word I want to say? You know how when you follow a body of a body politic and you pay attention to the government in some case, like, you know, I pay attention to the Scambia County Commission, Santa Rosa County Commission, all the city councils, all that, you know, the U.S. Senate, the U.S. House, not as much. And then in Florida, right, the Florida House and the Florida Senate. I don't personally know all of the reps and the senators, and there are some who speak more than others, but you get to know a bunch of them if you watch these committee meetings and then the floor discussions, and you get to learn who's entertaining and who's smart and who's principled and who's insane, you know, and who's a character in a comic book, you know, which we have a lot of those around. You know, she's a comic book character. I mean, she's a nut. She's just whenever Angie Nixon's going to be good for a crazy soundbite, and she's running for, you know, to be the next senator for the United States, for Florida in the United States Senate. No hope. At least I would hope no hope in the Democrat Party. Now, if you look at fundraising, that intuition would be confirmed because Vindman has raised $14.5 million and Nixon has raised $600,000. So no contest. Ashley Moody, meanwhile, $10 million. So Vindman's got $14 million. She's got $11 almost, which I'm sure a lot of that is out-of-state money because this is viewed as somehow vulnerable. And you know, the Democrats and their fundraisers or their fund donors, they will do anything to get more influence in the Senate, which is, I mean, that's how politics works, right? 5:15 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Did you happen to, they were talking about a top of the hour. Very, very interesting decision yesterday made in the case of the Appalachian High School shooter. He killed four people, two students, two teachers. He was 14 at the time. Colt is the guy's name, Colt Gray. And he's already had his trial. And now the dad was being tried. Colin Gray was being tried for essentially failure to control his weapon. And, you know, because the gun that was used, the AR-15, belonged to the dad. And here you have a 14-year-old going to a school and shooting up a school and killing people and hurting people, and the dad should have known. It's one of the first cases, maybe the first, I think the first, where a dad or a parent was charged with any, you know, homicide-related charge. This is manslaughter, which is not murder, but it's, you know, close, right? Negligent homicide, manslaughter. And the judge yesterday, in speaking to him, was pretty pointed.
It is clear you failed as a parent. You did not provide a stable household. You did not have things in check with Marcy's issues and what the kids were being exposed to. You did not have Colt in activities that a boy should be in, where he's making connections with other children in person, where he feels loved, where he feels accepted.
So negligence, not of the sort you normally think of, like providing somebody physical sustenance, not abuse of the sort you normally think of, where you're traumatizing a child psychologically or physically, but failure to do the other parenting things that every child needs to supervise, to raise, to nurture, to steward, right?
You didn't monitor what was going on with him in the computer. You didn't have him in school. He was in your care his entire eighth grade year, and he didn't go to school.
I don't know whether he was being homeschooled or barely supervised at all, but, you know, that's a concern as well. But during that time, he basically became deranged, radicalized, went down a rabbit hole.
And what did he do each of those days he should have been in school? He watched and rewatched the school shooting trial of Nicholas Cruz. He fell deeper and deeper into this obsession when he should have been in school every day. And that was a failure on your part. He didn't get any mental health counseling when it was obvious he needed some.
So, again, these are not active trauma, you know. In psychology and counseling, sometimes talk about type A and type B trauma. Type A is when you cause things. Type B is when you fail to provide things that really they need. You know, like if you got a plant and you take a machete to the plant, that's a type A trauma. But if you don't give it, you know, water and, you know, nutrients for the soil, that's type B trauma. Well, people are the same way. They need to not be directly harmed, and they need to also be provided with certain kinds of things, especially children. So all kinds of failures, type B type trauma, including not realizing that your child is in his room watching and rewatching the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting trial. You know, that's wild. But at the same time, it's sobering because I think a lot of parents, you know, don't watch what their kids are watching very actively, don't pay enough attention to that. How many times have you heard the sheriffs tell us, you know, invade your child's privacy because they are not entitled to it? You know, see what's on their phone, see what they're watching on YouTube. And I know they're crafty, you know, they'll hide stuff, but, you know, they might protest, but they're not entitled to hang out with whomever they want to on the internet and watch whatever level of content on the internet they can manage to find with their greedy little typing fingers, right? That's, they don't have that entitlement. And you, on the other hand, as an adult, may even have not just moral obligations to protect them from that stuff, but legal obligations to protect them from being, in this case, radicalized by deranged material. But none of that in and of itself is the crime. What was the crime?
None of those failures helped your case. But those aren't why you were convicted. You were convicted because the warning lights were flashing brighter and brighter. And you didn't get him help. And you didn't remove his access to the guns.
That's the issue. You had control of a firearm or firearms. I don't know. I didn't follow the case close enough to be able to. It might have been both, but I think it was at least the one. I know it was at least the one. And that was the crime. The crime was failure to protect your child from access to firearms, especially in a situation where he became more and more unstable, more and more dangerous. That's the crime. And as he said, you know, top of the hour, they played the sound clips. You didn't plan a crime. You didn't pull a trigger. You didn't intend harm. All things that are relevant to the level of charge. But those balance you off against being a first or a second degree homicide or murder charge and put it down to the manslaughter charge, which is what he got. 15 years. The prosecution wanted 80 years. But 15 years is a significant penalty for the non-murderer, right? For the parent of somebody who commits a murder, which I think is a pretty instructive judgment to all the other parents in the United States. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you are looking for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars, about 300 on the lot, so they've got a bunch of trucks and a bunch of SUVs and a bunch of minivans and a bunch of sedans and a bunch of Jeeps and a bunch of sports cars, and whatever you're looking for, whatever category you're looking to buy. And, you know, you a lot of times when you go to buy the next car, you're like, I definitely want a sedan. And it might not even be a choice, like a sedan being the category is so obvious that you don't even say it to yourself out loud. The question is, which sedan? I mean, there's a lot of them, and they're all, to some degree, very similar, but in other ways, very different. Well, you tend, at least if you're, I mean, like me, and I don't think I'm weird in this, you tend to have your one or two that you kind of think are most likely. And what's funny is you know, you might have had your heart set on a Hyundai, but if you drive a Kia, you might love it. You might have had your heart set on a Kia, but if you drive a Honda, you might love it, or a Chevy, or a Ford, or whatever the point is. Drive a bunch of different things. Whatever your in-your-brain expectation of what you're going to love, it might turn out to be right. You know, you might drive four cars, and you're like, I hate them all. That's why I want to buy this Kia. On the other hand, you might drive the Kia and the Honda and the Toyota and the Ford and the Chevy and be like, man, Chevy's got a good product. Right? And that's the point. Sample a bunch of different things. Well, you can do them all in one place at Frontier Motors. And then if they have what you want, buy it. It'll be good prices on good quality used cars. They warranty to 100,000 miles or 10 years. And if they don't have exactly what you want, but they're real close, like you love that car, but you don't love it so much in, you know, green or blue, and you'd like to have green or blue, right? The point is they will go looking for you. They buy cars all the time. Just find out that Frontier is a different kind of place. Serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You've still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia and RSV. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and can help protect you from getting really sick. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. See more at PfizerForAll.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Band Sands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and spend the summer in the sand relaxing and enjoying the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's the new Cahoots. This acoustic duo from Pensacola, formed by songwriters Michael Garcia and Gordon Frank, will take the stage and they'll blend the sound of folk, bluegrass, and Americana. It's Bands on the Beach happening this Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola
and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Dependable.
Inconceivable.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
I'm going to say something, and I think it's going to make a bunch of you angry. The fact that it makes you angry is not my goal, but I just know. But I feel like I do have to say it. So, obviously, I assume you're aware that this week Anthony Fauci testified in front of the Senate, but did not testify, right? He took the fifth, 111 times, I think. I've seen different counts, but basically, he went up there and said, look, you know, Rand Paul, Senator Paul, who's been on a crusade against him for years now, over the question of who's responsible for the existence, I guess you would say, without putting any bias into the word of the COVID-19 virus, among other things, you know, and gain-of-function research at the Wuhan lab and claims to the people about this that might have contradicted later by that, plus the diary releases that, you know, if you read them uncharitably, show a deranged man obsessed with all kinds of weird things. If you read them a different way, a more charitable way, it's a person musing and unsure and trying to work their way through a process of fairly difficult stuff. But put all that aside, he goes in front of the Senate and he says, I'm kind of concerned that you're trying to put me in jail. In fact, I know you are because you've said so. So, on the advice of counsel, I choose to exert my Fifth Amendment privilege and not engage in self-incrimination. And he said this again and again and again, which is how you do it. In fact, legally, my understanding, I've heard some different accounts of this, but the way I understand it is, the short version is, you can't just be silent. If you just stay silent, somehow or other, that's not enough. But if you actively state, I choose to exert my Fifth Amendment privilege, then that's it. You're done. If you later talk, you then forfeit. Like, you can't selectively testify. You can't say, you know, if there's 80 questions that you get asked, you cannot say 40 times, I choose to exert my privilege, and then 40 times say, but here's the truth, or even 10 times, and then come back and say 30. You don't get to pick and choose. It's all or nothing. And once you have testified or made, again, this is, if somebody's a lawyer and I've got this wrong, please feel free to correct me. I took the LSAT, but I did not go to law school. I'm a philosopher. And then, so, you know, you have to claim it blanket across the board. So he exerts his privilege. He doesn't talk. He says it again and again. And it's infuriating for people who want somebody to talk. And I have seen endless comments on social media of people saying how outrageous it is that this man who is responsible for so much, they say, death and destruction and misinformation and lockdowns and policies and, you know, throw everything into the blame bag that you want to throw into it. They hate Fauci. And it's become very, very fashionable on my side of the aisle to hate Fauci for several years since the pandemic. I personally don't, I'll just tell you. I always thought and still to this day think that the man had a lot of integrity and was very knowledgeable and had done a lot of great things for our country. you know, that doesn't mean that he did everything right. But I think so much blame gets put on him for any errors that you perceive. But also, very little blame gets put on people like, I don't know, the president for making decisions on the basis of recommendations. And ultimately, it is the politicians who make the decisions. It's not a doctor to consider all of the various implications of a political decision. It is the politician. That's why, for example, we give credit to Governor DeSantis for doing right here in Florida, because he didn't do what was always recommended. And I give him a lot of credit for that. But that's his job as a politician, to take all of those things into consideration. Anyway, so he exerts privilege for, you know, not talking. And people hate him on my side of the aisle. It's become very fashionable to hate Fauci. Even me saying I don't hate him, let alone I admire him, is something that I'm sure a lot of people are just horrified that I would say that. Okay, so he takes the fifth. And people, again, on my side of the aisle, who are just, like, furious at him and putting all these comments about how wrong this is, how disgusting this is, especially since he got a presidential pardon from Joe Biden on his last day in office on January 19th, 2025, for any crimes that might have been committed in connection with his roles from 2014 all the way through that particular day. And they're just furious about that he would not testify, especially when he's got an immunity. Okay, well, the immunity only covers acts up to that day. It doesn't cover anything going forward. And anything since then that might rise to the level of, let's say, perjury or obstruction or anything else could still be tried. So he does not have the kind of blanket immunity that means that you cannot wind up suffering consequences. But my observation is that all of these people that I know, that I love, that are on the right, that are with me most of the time, that say they love the Constitution and all of the rights that it gives us, are criticizing this man for using a constitutional right. And we do this. We tend to treat the exertion of the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination as something suspect or spurious or weird or incriminating, which it is not. In fact, judges tell people that you can't use that as evidence. So I would just advise the people saying these kinds of things to reconsider whether they really want to be attacking a man for using a constitutional right Fox that protects News, us against CJ government.
Papa, a major push for peace by disarming Hamas in Gaza.
The president says Gaza's Board of Peace was able to secure an agreement for Hamas to disarm. And if this comes into fruition, it would be a huge milestone in the 20-point plan the president unveiled in October. The president saying this agreement is a critical step towards Gaza finally being governed by a new Palestinian government that will work closely with the Board of Peace to help the Palestinian people.
Fox's Madeline Rivera reporting. A cabinet meeting on the schedule for the commander-in-chief.
For the first time, his top aides will gather at Camp David, the presidential retreat in the Maryland mountains.
Fox's Jared Halpern at the White House. At least 18 migrants died trying to reach the Spanish territory on its northern coast. Thousands breached the frontier with Morocco that's just across the Strait of Gibraltar. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 82 degrees with a rainy start to our morning. A few thunderstorms across the area. Well, two people were injured yesterday in a motorcycle crash on I-110. That happened just south of Brent Lane at about 9:30 Thursday night. Both injured people were taken to the hospital as trauma alerts. We don't have any other information on that crash as of yet. Gulf Shores is reportedly making some progress on its first pedestrian bridge connecting walkers and cyclists across the Intracoastal Waterway. The $24 million project features 75-foot towers with a structural glass floor, letting visitors see down to the water below. Businesses expect that bridge to boost their foot traffic considerably. It'll operate around the clock and is expected to open by early next year. A 47-year-old Pensacola man has been sentenced to life in prison for shooting his wife twice during a Christmas Day argument back in 2024. A jury previously found Terrence Franklin guilty of attempted second-degree murder and aggravated assault. Deputies say Franklin threatened his family with a shotgun before shooting his wife in the leg and in the chest, then fled the scene with the weapon before officers arrived. Now, the Navy says the Blue Angels pilot that sat out of the Pensacola Beach Air Show wasn't being punished. Lieutenant Chris Haubin flew an unusually low pass during the Breakfast with the Blues event on July 15th. It kicked up sand, sent umbrellas flying. Well, according to the Pensacola News Journal, the Blue Angels say that they had pulled him from the remaining shows as a proactive safety step while conducting a review. He is expected to be back in the team's six-jet formation at their show in Seattle. Acting Navy Secretary Hung Chow says there have been no official reprimands. Well, Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves is exploring whether the Blue Wahoos Stadium could be converted into a multi-use baseball and soccer complex. City Administrator David Stafford says the mayor's been fielding inquiries and he's hoping to get some answers fast.
He became aware of other facilities across the in other parts of the country where there's a multi-use baseball and soccer complex. And so he started exploring, well, could that be done at the Wahoo Stadium?
Stafford does say the mayor's identified two firms that conduct that kind of feasibility study, and he's hoping to move forward quickly. The study would cost less than $50,000, which is within the mayor's spending authority, without having to go to city council. Well, there's a new course coming to local schools and could be great preparation for the real world.
Something new is coming to classrooms across Florida. The Florida Board of Education has approved new standards for an upcoming History of Communism class. Channel 3 is reporting that these standards will be implemented for middle and high school students. This will begin this school year. Florida's leading the nation by equipping students with a truthful, in-depth understanding of how communist ideologies suppress individual freedoms, abuse power, and inflict widespread suffering. Chris Bryan, News Radio, 92.3.
5:35 here at News Radio, 92.3. And again, right now we've got 82 degrees with thunderstorms across the area. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. News Radio, 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Apple reported stronger than expected earnings and revenue for the fiscal third quarter, driven by a 22% increase in iPhone sales. Net income climbed to nearly $30 billion, which is up from roughly $23.4 billion a year ago. However, the company issued weak guidance for the current period, citing supply constraints. Its shares slid 6% upon the news. Amazon reported better than expected revenue and cloud growth for the second quarter. AWS sales expanded 37% year over year, which beat analyst expectations for 31% growth. CEO Andy Jassy said the company expects capital spending to reach $220 billion this year. Anthropic said it has discovered three instances where its cloud AI models accessed the internet during an evaluation and gained unauthorized access to the real systems of three different organizations. The company said it found these incidents after carrying out a large-scale retrospective review of its cybersecurity evaluations. Futures are moderately higher. That's Your Money Now.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You recognize the smell of marijuana, but it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News.
me up. Jimmy Petronis, our congressman from Florida District 1, Northwest Florida's congressman. Jimmy, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Hey, Andrew. Great to be with you.
We had two fairly significant passings here locally last week. One was the founder, co-owner of the Floribama, Pat McClellan, who I think was one of your friends.
They broke the mold when they made that guy.
Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News. Listen weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. Joining us by phone, we have Eric Winstrom. He is the chief of the Pensacola Police Department. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So one thing, we have a lot of stuff I want to get to. I want to start with this one. The news this week was that the charges have been dropped against Kanye Walker. He's the, I think, 16-year-old who had been alleged to have supplied the gun to Safford, who fired the first shots in that early morning July 5th incident down on Palafox. What happened here? Why were the charges dropped?
That's more of a question for the state's attorney's office.
Fair enough.
But I'll just say we're in constant communication with them, and we want to make sure everybody has a fair trial that's still pending charges. So there's only so much I can say about it other than they did communicate with us. We worked through this, and I think we're all on the same page, and just part of the court process as more evidence comes out, as more testimony comes out, occasionally there's changes, and in this case, I think we're all on the same page.
Okay, all right. But you had said, I think, that the case was closed, so this is not about, for his charges particularly, it's not likely to be reopened unless something dramatic happens at this point. Is that right?
That's exactly right. You
okay.
Got it.
I do want to talk about this incident, because I think I get frustrated sometimes. I'll be honest. I get frustrated because when shootings happen and young men, get killed or get hurt, a lot of times the representation of those victims is somebody goes on TV crying about my little angel. And I understand if you've lost a kid or if you've, had a kid injured, I get the emotion. But I think sometimes we're not honest enough about, well, they were involved in a lot of stuff, and they weren't just random bystanders, although some, at least one was. So in this case, as I understand it, you correct me if I'm wrong, we had one person, Safford, who got given a gun and then decided to open fire on the victim, but did not shoot him, missed. His friend then returned fire and accidentally shot the victim and killed him. Then the original shooter gave the gun to the woman who went away with it. That's obstruction after the fact. And then the man who shot his friend and killed him by accident was the one who you tried to serve a warrant on at Oakwood Terrace who took his own life. Do I have any of the facts wrong?
Nope.
Okay.
No. You have a solid understanding. And usually, especially when something happens at a place that's known for tourism and restaurants and stuff, people in the community, they get scared and they look at it as a, oh, it's so dangerous to go to downtown Pensacola. I've had the same thing in the last two cities I worked with. Some big incident happens downtown and people are fearful, like, oh, they're just randomly shooting people. But when you do look at the facts like that, you realize if you're not living this sort of what I would call a high-risk lifestyle, two groups of people came down and they all had guns and got into this. Obviously, they weren't there just to see the fireworks. They were there for other reasons, and they got into essentially a firefight. And so when you look at it that way, when you think, hey, I'm a parent, if my kids aren't living that high-risk lifestyle, they're definitely in, much, much exponentially less danger of getting struck by a bullet in the city.
And that's exactly what I wanted to bring up. And, of course, all of this is pending a trial. All this is allegation at this point. I understand that. But what I mean, nobody deserved to die over any of this, but to imagine that this is sort of, one side of bad guys and one side of just pure innocent victims, like you said, they both brought guns to town. They both were there and engaged in a gunfight. This is not, as you say, people just going about their daily lives in low risk activities. This is people on both sides doing bad stuff. And it escalated to an incident that we all saw. Right? Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, you're right. And one of the frustrations from the police chief point of view is when something like this happens, everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people turn to you, turn to me as the police chief and say, hey, what are the police doing about this? And I say, we're going to do the following. We're going to respond to crime. We're going to try to deter crime. We're going to investigate crime as we did this. We're going to get answers. But I want to know what everybody else is going to do to make sure that their kids aren't involved in a culture where they feel comfortable going downtown on July 4th, not to see fireworks, but to walk around with a group of friends illegally possessing guns, willing to shoot other people for some sort of argument that, you know, no one can even articulate.
Right. No, I agreed. And I would love to see is some self-accountability from parents, from community members to say, yeah, they were doing bad stuff and I could have done more. I should have done more, instead of pretending like, you know, there's all kinds of innocence all around when the truth is there's lots of guilt going around before this incident.
Yeah. And if more people had that serious adult conversation, the safer the city would be.
Yeah, 100%. Other things that have been going on this week, Chief, you had a rescue of a man who fell in the water while fishing down at near Wahoos, right? Which is kind of a scary thing because that's a big wall. You cannot get back up from that, right?
That's right, and that's exactly what the problem that this gentleman encountered. Fortunately, a lot of people called right away. I wasn't there. I was listening on the radio. Police officers and firefighters responded, and then we had some boats that were getting ready, but I believe some thinking outside the box, I believe by the Pensacola Fire Department, they dropped a long ladder down and held on to it and were able to get him to safety. But he was clinging to, I believe, a chain that was dangling in the water, and very dangerous situation, but had a happy ending.
Yeah, and if you fall over fishing, I mean, I always think it's almost kind of amazing more people don't fall accidentally into the water, because I think of it even like riding my bike over to the Blue Angels show. I'm like, I'm kind of high up and that railing is kind of low. If my gears slip or something and I press the wrong way, I could go over, it's kind of amazing. It doesn't happen more often. So thank goodness he was able to be rescued. You had a guy with a mental health episode, I think was the ultimate outcome at Cordova Mall. What took place?
Yeah, I rolled out for that. One of the things, I came from Garden Street, and I heard it. It was the call came out as an individual threatening to shoot up the mall and then ran from a mall security guard. The clothing description, I believe he had something that sounded like camouflage pants on and a brown shirt. He didn't appear to be a shopper. He appeared to be in the mall for other reasons, possibly a bulge in his pants, a very scary-sounding call. By the time I got there, we had – I mean, there were detectives that I think were typing up cases upstairs in the police department that beat me to the scene. So the response was phenomenal from the police department. Had it been an active shooter incident, an actually armed person, very quick response. I watched the body-worn camera video yesterday. Officers got there. They located him. He ran. They were able to capture him. And he made these terroristic threats for whatever reason. And fortunately, we did a full search of the area where he, looked at the video, saw which direction did he come from, where did he go, where could he have left the gun. There was no gun. So as for, what the explanation is, I think probably mental health issues is the best explanation, but glad that no one was hurt, and best ending to that sort of call.
And, this was something that I had first heard about on social media, and somebody's like, did you see what's going on at Cordova Mall? And my first, well, let me go check with Mike Wood, and find out what's really going on. Yeah. But, what happens, I think a lot of times is, we have a perception, and I know Sheriff Simmons likes to talk about this too, that, crime is down. Like, the city is safer. The county is safer than it's ever been. But an incident captures attention, gets repeated 1,000 times. You emotionally live through it. And that becomes your picture of reality. And then in a case like this, where it's not even the thing that people at least initially think it is, our brains process it as scary event at Cordova Mall. Oh, my God, second time in 2 or 3 weeks. What's going on at Cordova? That kind of reaction. It's easy to get into a fear-based mindset about public safety when, the way we react to things and share the information than what actually turns out to be true ultimately, right?
That's right. And then you look at the statistics and you realize how safe it is. And the same thing, when you have a fist fight downtown between two drunken, mutual combatants. And then I get called, chief, downtown's out of control. What's going on? And then my question comes up, hey, when was the last time someone got mugged downtown?
Yeah.
I can't even remember. Months ago, maybe a year ago or so. Okay. Well, I've worked in places where people were getting carjacked multiple times a day downtown. So if you fight the battle of the anecdotes all the time, you're never going to win. But if you look at the numbers and say, this is a really safe city heading in that direction, and I'm glad one individual suffering a mental health crisis certainly can scare a lot of people, but all in all, hey, Cordova Mall is a pretty safe place.
Yeah, I used to do a feature on a different radio show. I called it Reverse News, which is whenever I thought a particular story was getting outsized, attention to it, like, well, and today in Reverse News, 54,862 Pensacola residents went to work and came home safely. You know, like that's the broad truth, right? Non-events aren't news is the sad thing, you know. Let's talk about the proposed curfew. I know you've been working on that with the mayor. How close are we to a proposal? And, you know, the mayor's talked about some of the shape of this, but I always like to ask whether you are fully on board and think it'll help you in enforcement. Mike Wood said last week that it would, but you tell me, you're the chief.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Having the ability to spot that in the case of July 4th, that 11-year-old in the crowd who's not walking around without a parent, recognizing as a parent, as an adult, that this young person is in a more dangerous situation at 1 o'clock in the morning on July 5th, and being able to say, hey, we need to remove him to a safer place, that's a very valuable tool for the police department. And it could be a valuable tool for parents, too, those parents that haven't quite gotten into the groove of being able to hold their kids accountable as much as they should. Maybe having this ability for them to say, hey, I don't want you to go downtown, also it's illegal, if that keeps a few kids out of harm's way, a few kids from leading more high-risk lifestyle, that's very helpful. So I think it's going to be a good tool. I think the draft is probably similar to what's on the in state law already, which they kind of make a suggestion for municipalities. If you want to put a curfew in place, this is where you should start. So I don't think it's going to be that controversial. It is going to be helpful, and we're not looking to lock up kids. We're just looking to make a safer community for our kids.
The mayor had made a comment that there was a slice of this that might deal with the parents, that after the warning and then the go to the station and call the police or call the parent and then the ticket and the enhanced ticket for offenders, that there's going to be a slice of this that's going to try to hold parents accountable. Do we know any more about that yet?
I think that's the way it's headed, and that's the language that I've seen from a lot of other jurisdictions around the country. It's not something that, hey, my kids, you know, I got a 14 and 12-year-old. It's not something that if my 14-year-old's out past curfew that I'm going to get arrested. It's something that after the warning, after a second warning, well, finally we're going to issue some sort of accountability measure, a civil citation or something. Because really, when it comes down to it, it is a parent's job to hold their kids accountable. And there's we don't always see that.
I love the mayor's comment that downtown Pensacola is not your babysitter. I thought that was
so true. That's what I felt like July 4th, July 5th. There were a couple times with 500 kids down there. And, you know, even with 50 cops, we just looked around like, this is the biggest babysitting gig in the history of Pensacola. That's what we were doing.
That's true. You have National Night Out is coming up. Next Thursday? Is that right? It's not today. It's right next Thursday.
It is not. It is August 4th, which I believe is Tuesday.
Oh,
actually.
Tuesday, August 4th. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Okay,
5
Tuesday.
5 p.m. down at Booker T. Washington High School in 6000 College Parkway. Down there, 5 p.m. We're gonna have police, fire, public works trucks, like a touch a truck event. Also, a canine demonstration. There's going to be a whole bunch of organizations out there, not only us, but I think our federal law enforcement partners, fire department, obviously, and others. So I'll be down there August 4th. Starts at 5 p.m. I think the canines are going on at probably 5:30 or 6. If you want to just go see them, they're always a big hit. But it'll be a great event.
See all the stuff. Sorry for saying Thursday. You're right. Tuesday, August the 4th at Booker T. Washington at the football fields. And then just the last thing real briefly, we just don't have enough time to get in. The license plate readers continues to be an issue. You know, you and I have talked about this, about the folks who are pushing against it, and are they sincere? Are they reasonable participants, or are they just recycling talking points? I was actually really encouraged that after your comments at the city council, in the next week, it was kind of a deferential, we appreciate Chief Winstrom's, but we seem to have now kind of fallen back on cherry-picking examples from the far-flung regions of the United States as reasons why we shouldn't have flock cameras or license plate readers here in Pensacola. But suffice it to say, you are still personally involved in the permissions. You are still adamant about protecting people's constitutional rights. License plates are not something that is private or require a search because it's in public on a road under the law. And the flock cameras are helping you solve crimes routinely. All of that true?
All of that's true. Yeah, the protections are in place. I get it. I care about the I have a sort of libertarian mindset, and I care about all those things. And this isn't something that's as controversial as saying, you know, facial recognition that's out there and expanding exponentially, which we don't have any sort of active system like the entire country, the United Kingdom, I believe.
Yeah.
So not as controversial as it is, an exceptional tool. And it's always a balance of, I want to be able to tell the family that's a victim of a crime or missing a kid or a elderly Alzheimer's patient, saying we're going to do everything we can and we have the right tools to do it. And then making sure that we're
producing. I'm always a little cautious about engaging in this kind of comment, but I will say it this way. My perception is that the people who are upset about the license plate readers, which are fully legal and do not require Fourth Amendment search, because it's not a search, it's not private, are likely the first ones to whip out their cell phone to video something that they don't like, especially when they see a cop doing it. And I think, interesting.
Without a doubt, yeah. It's a very strange political conversation because you have those on different spectrums.
But absolutely.
The DSA group, the socialists, they're just not sincere, unfortunately, in their thing, because coming from Chicago and living with a strong Polish community that fled from Soviet Poland.
Yeah.
The socialists love their police. You can't implement a socialist society without a strong, very strong police force willing to take your civil liberties. So it's very insincere. It's all politics. I know I'm used to that, but so it's tough to argue with unserious people because you're not having a real argument.
Yeah, no, I understand. Eric Winstrom, he's the chief Pensacola police, as always. Chief, thank you so much for the time and what you do to make our community better and keep us safe. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate you.
Man, that last comment, it is tough to argue with unserious people. That's true. The whole idea of argumentation, reason, evidence, logic is that we're both willing to be corrected. Okay, we're both willing to be wrong. But we're both willing to be wrong, meaning that we're both willing to learn from each other or to, you know, and when people will not actively engage with the ideas, the vast majority of humans, I say this as a guy who taught logic for 10 years, the vast majority of humans play the reasoning and evidence game, but they're playing it. They're not actually engaging in it. They only use evidence, reason, and quotes as a way of, if it supports their position. They're not willing to use them or listen to them when they undermine or contradict their position, which is how they're supposed to be used for improvement. Anyway, I breathe. If you have a company, you have employees, you have HR needs, you have payroll, you have health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, Torgerson Cause is here to help you. They've been helping us for about 5 years here at News Radio in Cat Country by providing our medical, primarily dental, vision, all the benefits. And they're great. Like, you know, they're not miracle workers. The marketplace is what it is. But they go scour it every year. They look for the best stuff, and they give us choices within that. And we have the best that's possible. And I know because I've talked to Reed a bunch. He's Reed Torgerson. I've listened to him present the Milton City Council very, very effectively. Super boring, very effective. You don't want me to explain it to you. But, yeah, they know what they're doing, and it's great customer service. They follow up. You know, a lot of times insurance people are like salespeople, and then sometimes they're like detail people, and sometimes they're both. Reed is just like both, you know, details. My wife asks good questions. He answers them. For 25 years, they've been helping local companies run this stuff. Give them a call today. No obligation. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, running for Escambia County School Board District 3. District 3 is asking for a change, and I agree. District 3 deserves a representative who will listen, communicate, and stay connected. I'm a retired military leader, a pastor, a community leader, and I'm ready to serve. I'll support teachers, strengthen schools, put students first, and always involve parents. I'm Dr. Isaac Williams. On August 18th, I will appreciate your vote.
Paid political ad by Dr. Isaac Williams, Escambia School Board District 3.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
You're not looking for an argument. You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
That's okay. Remember, there are no stupid questions, just stupid people.
I guess we've been in the realm of reboots and sequels lately, but now the newest one is we hear that they're working on a sequel to Clueless. So the Alicia Silverstone classic that is going to be like 30 years later when she's a mom.
Whatever.
I don't know. It was such a great movie that I'm not sure I'm excited about this, but hey, if it does work out, I'll take another pass at this material from the parents' point of view.
Oh, my God, I'm totally bugging.
Local Talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News.